a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. As the number of disciples continued to grow, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12 called together the community of the disciples and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table. Brothers, select from among you 7 reputable men filled with the Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The proposal was acceptable to the whole community. So they chose Stephen, a man filled with faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. The word of the Lord. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Exalt you just in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. Give thanks to the Lord on the harp. With the 10-string lyre, chant his praises. Lord, let your praise be on us as we place our trust. Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. Lord, let his mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Dominus vobiscum.
Tecum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
When it was evening, the disciples of Jesus went down to the sea, embarked in a boat, and went across the sea to Capernaum. It had already grown dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea was stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, They saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they began to be afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." They wanted to take him into the boat, but the boat immediately arrived at the shore to which they were heading. Verbum Domini. Last month, I greeted our audience from India, those who are actually in India or who are living in other countries at this time. And I spoke about a young woman whose cause is progressing, Ajina George, who is known as the Carlo Acutis of India because of her great devotion to the Eucharist. And today I want to greet the people of the Philippines, those who are present in the Philippines, or those who are living in other countries, including the United States, because of a wonderful event that took place there a week ago on Divine Mercy Sunday. And the event really was preceded several months before last July, when the Bishops' Conference there in the Philippines approved petitioning the Vatican for a young 13-year-old girl's cause to proceed. And the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints granted them the nihil obstat, the permission to go forward to investigate her possible canonization. And so it was on Divine Mercy Sunday at the cathedral in Loag City in the Philippines that Bishop Renato Mayugba at the cathedral formally opened her cause. So I just want to show you a couple pictures. It's a beautiful picture of the Divine Mercy choir, the children's choir, dressed in typical traditional Philippine dress. And so they sang the Divine Mercy Chaplet on Divine Mercy Sunday, as well as the hymn, "Jesus, I Trust in You." And then we also had the formal opening of the cause on that day for this young 13-year-old who died in 1993, August 16th, at the age of 13. And this is the official portrait that was commissioned for Nina Ruiz Abad is her name. And why was it seen that they should continue to look at her cause for beatification and canonization? Well, because of the remarkable life that she had led in her young, short life. She was known even as a child to have a profound devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. And she would pray before the Blessed Sacrament with her arms outstretched, sometimes for long times. When she would go to school, she'd make first a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. When she finished school, she would make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. And even at a young age, she was quite a little evangelist, giving out rosaries and Bibles and holy cards to different people. And the bishop, in his comments that day, he said, "If anyone asks, 'Do you know Nina Ruiz Abad?' the answer would be, 'That's the girl who always wore a rosary, the girl who loved to pray, the girl who loved God so much,'" he said. And even 30 years later, she died in 1993, people still remember her example. And her motto was, "God first, God first." So at the age of 10, she was diagnosed with an incurable heart problem that would eventually take her life at the age of 13 when she had a cardiac arrest at school. But even that, because of the serenity with which she faced it and the profound faith which she went through her illness, even as she felt it progressing, this heart disease that was robbing her of her strength and so on. And yet she was always known for her joy and her hope. And again, being a little evangelist who loved to pray, to love to spend before the Blessed Sacrament, extending her hands toward our Eucharistic Lord. And so these young people, I mentioned Ajina George in India, this young woman, Nina Ruiz Sabat, and so many others that we've talked about, Carlo Acutis, of course, Manuel Fodera, little Sicilian boy who had a profound devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, that they're pointing us to this reality in which the risen Lord remains with us. So often in our divine office that we pray as religious, the emphasis has been in these days about the Holy Eucharist and pointing us to this reality of our Lord's real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. Now, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John, which we had today, the Gospel of John, they all recount an event that happened after the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. Jesus walking on the sea. And so this event that happened that we heard about yesterday, how Philip and Andrew, they don't seem to really have much faith that there's any hope for this situation, right? So, and the Lord, we are told, tested them, tested Philip. So he asked Philip, where can we get food for all these people? And it says that he knew the answer, but he was testing Philip. And Philip said, 200 days wages wouldn't give them even a morsel. Mother Angelica commenting on this, and I think Father Mark probably mentioned this yesterday, she said a better answer from Philip would have been, I don't know, Lord, but you do. You do. Or Andrew's words, well, there's a boy here, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what is that for so many? And he might have answered instead, well, Lord, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish, what can you do with those? And so even our little offerings, and that could be an encouragement for us, even the little bit that we have to offer, when we look at the overwhelming influences in the world today, say, well, what can possibly be done? We need to look at that gospel where we need to respond rather with faith to the Lord. Lord, you know what can be done. What can you do with this little offering that I'm making here today? And he can multiply it and he can do great things with it. With our little offerings this day, our presence at Mass, we welcome you who are here visiting here at the Irondale Chapel this morning. So that also is a prefiguration, right, of this miraculous food that the Messiah is going to bring. That was the belief of the rabbis, that when the Messiah came, that there'd be another gift of manna from heaven. There'd be this miraculous food that the Messiah would bring. And when this happens, we heard at the end of yesterday's gospel, this surely is a prophet. Because Moses has been told, there's going to be one, a prophet like you. There's going to be one. And they saw this too as a prefigure, that this was pointing to the Messiah, who would be like Moses. So what is today's gospel, which, as I said, in Matthew, Mark, and John's gospel, they all recount this event that happened of Jesus walking on the sea. Well, both yesterday's event and today's event point to the fact that he has power over creation. And what are the words that he uses when they first see him? In Greek, ego eimi, I am. Be not afraid. I am. The very term that God used to describe himself to Moses. I am. Be not afraid. He has power over creation. And this is pointing to something that's going to be a teaching that many are going to leave him for. But the apostles witnessed this event, showing that indeed he is the Lord. He is the long-awaited one. And he brings them, they come to the shore because he's going to bring them to the harbor. That's where he's leading them, the harbor of heaven. But it's going to be a difficult teaching for some. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you'll have no life in you. This is a hard saying. Who can endure it? And many left him. But when Jesus turns to the apostles, he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" Well, they had witnessed this miracle. They had witnessed his divine power. And so Peter responds, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life." And so this was a way to prepare them for this teaching that at the time they didn't understand, but then they knew that he was the Lord. And so what he was saying was true. And it's then after his resurrection, his institution of the Holy Eucharist, that then they begin to understand. And this will be the heart of our faith. From the earliest days, it was always the Mass, the Eucharist, that mattered, because it was there that they encountered the risen Lord. Pope Benedict, in his apostolic exhortation on the Blessed Sacrament, the Sacrament of Charity, Sacramentum Caritatis, he recounts an event in the 300s, like 301, 302 AD, of these Christians in North Africa. And it was forbidden for them to gather, but they did nonetheless. And when they were found out, and there were some 40 of them, and we have the account, really, of their responses, they said, "Why did you disobey the imperial decree?" Knowing that it's going to lead to their execution. "Sine Domenico non possumus." Without the Lord, we can't cope. We can't live. Well, couldn't they just pray? Of course they could. But they wanted the Eucharist. They didn't want to be deprived of the Mass, of the Eucharist. From the earliest days, that's what has mattered, because it's in that way that we encounter the risen Lord most profoundly. That's what little Nina Ruiz Sabat discovered at a very young age, and so many other children, like little Nelly of Holy God. Have you ever heard of her story? 4-year-old in Ireland, patron for many first communicants in Ireland. They come to understand very early on. So one final word that the bishop actually said at the opening of her cause. He said, "We are starting our investigation on the life of Nina to discern if indeed God has blessed us with a servant of God who can be elevated to sainthood. All holiness is, in fact, a work of God. God is the author of holiness, because all holiness is grace. Sanctity is ultimately the work of grace, the fruit of divine mercy." That's what God wants for you and for me, sanctity. He's giving us the grace to become saints, just like he gave this little 13-year-old in her short years. And that he wants us, too, to grow in holiness. And one of the means that we can grow in holiness, the most profound means, is the gift of the Mass, the gift of himself in the Holy Eucharist. We cannot receive one who has risen from the dead without experiencing in some way our own resurrection.